honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. The sun is shining, and it is shining definitely here in Minnesota as the Timberwolves survive. could have been a disastrous week. It ended up being pretty positive after, you know, losing to one of the worst teams in the league. You come back and have you go from maybe one of the worst losses of the year to one of the biggest wins of the year, if not the biggest win of the year, and then an easy win versus the Dallas Mavericks because of the load management and injuries and all that cute stuff. So the Wolves survived 2-1. First place in the Eastern Conference, retained two All-Stars, and a possibility of Chris Finch also being the All-Star coach if the Timberwolves can beat Orlando tonight. So yeah, that's where we're at. Obviously, Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns not voted in as All-Stars. Of course not. It's against the rules, I guess. But maybe Anthony Edwards will finally get there someday if he stops complaining about fouls every 5 minutes. But I suppose he had some beef against the cheating-ass refs, as he called them, against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Luckily, the Wolves survived, and we weren't the cheating-ass Wolves or anything. It's the cheating-ass Thunder, I guess, at the end of the day, when we talk about that game. But, so we'll see how things go. Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns going to the All-Star game. Chris Finch just might be the coach of the Western Conference with the number one record in the Western Conference, where, of course, it'd probably go against the Boston Celtics, of course, right, coach? And maybe a preview of the NBA Finals? No, hopefully. hopefully we can win that, but we'll have to wait and see on that. We'll cross that bridge if and when we do get there, of course. San Antonio Spurs, January the 27th, 113-112 loss. Okay. And that was after a comfortable start, 36-23 first quarter. You figured the Wolves would just kind of cruise the rest of the way. They probably thought that as well, but then just kind of let the Spurs come back, and some really dumb lineups as well that made no sense. in multiple cases, you had, was it like four? You had a lineup of four players that can't shoot at all. Like, of course, Kyle Anderson, since the eye injury, has been one of the worst offensive players on the team. It's like the guy can't make any layups. He can't shoot from the outside at all. He was better last year. Like, it's safe to say Kyle Anderson was better. Shake Milton, who's been, you know, I don't know, shaky at best. Shake has been shaky at best all season. He was 3-5 from the floor, so it's not like he had a terrible game, but it's still a bad choice, I think. Shake Milton, Kyle Anderson, Jordan McLaughlin, and Rudy Gobert all on the floor at the same time. Now, Rudy Gobert, it's like, yeah, he's offensively challenged, but he was 8-9 from the floor. It's not like he's terrible. It's just, it's a weird combination. He's not necessarily a go-to scorer. You know what I mean? So that's why the combination of players didn't make a whole lot of sense. Some defensive players out there, sure, but at the same time, it was a weird combo, either with Reed or Kat out there, but when it came to the other player. But just having those four players on the floor at the same time didn't make a whole lot of sense. It allowed the San Antonio Spurs to make a comeback in the game, and the Spurs end up getting past the Wolves, you know, just, I don't know, like a lame foul, just like, what are you doing? It wasn't even that the foul was lame. It's that they didn't get the damn rebound, and that's why Wemby was able to make at least one of the free throws to win the game for the Spurs. And, of course, Karl-Anthony Towns misses the last-second three-point attempt because everybody misses last-second shots, it seems like, in this league. Okay, not necessarily, but it happens a lot, particularly when, you know, it's us, I guess. Devin Vassell continues to be a valuable guy, more than half of his shots, and he made half of his threes. Wembanyama made half of his threes. And again, the free throws, he was only 2-5 from the free throw line, so he was 1-2. But just the fact that, you know, you got to get the rebound. I mean, it's just, you've got to get the rebound. And the Wolves weren't rebounding down the stretch off of the Spurs' misses, or of course their own misses. They didn't get anything hardly down the stretch. The Spurs pretty much out-hustled the Wolves, and that's why they emerged victorious in this game. Again, it also doesn't help. Conley's been kind of plagued with the hamstring, and that's kind of what's been going on. It's a combination of hamstring and rest, but mostly hamstring. So obviously an older player, and you hope and pray to God that this doesn't become something going into the postseason at some point later on, because we don't want Sam Cassell 2.0. Because, you know, as great as Sam Cassell was for that team, he was arguably the most valuable player on the team that year, other than Garnett, of course. But, you know, he was so valuable. He was the player that really pushed the Wolves into number one in the Western Conference way back in 03-04. This is the 20-year anniversary, and what a way to celebrate it, huh? With maybe doing it again, finally. But let's not have another situation where, you know, a player as valuable as Mike Conley or Sam Cassell. Obviously, Cassell's value was higher because he's, you know, he was absolutely necessary. He was the number two option on that team. So it's not quite like that. But at the same time, his value was off the charts, him being Mike Conley. You don't want him being out when we need him most in the playoffs. And that's why the Lakers were able to get past the Timberwolves. Many, and I mean many Timberwolves fans from back then, including myself, will swear the Timberwolves would have won the NBA championship if Sam Cassell did not have that injury. Was it like a back injury, lower back injury down the stretch? It just screwed up everything. It was because we had no backup plan. You go from Sam Cassell to, was it Derek Martin? Derek Martin. I mean, what a drop-off. It's not like Tyus Jones or anything. Or Troy Hudson. Oh, Troy Hudson, yeah, he was hurt the whole damn season. Just in time, you know, right after he signed his contract that was too much, magically hurt the whole year. You know, so that totally figured. That's just kind of how things go there. It's way too often in sports. And that was a huge disappointment. I wouldn't want to go from Mike Conley to some weird lineup of, like, you know, like Nickeil Alexander-Walker or Jordan McLaughlin playing point guard, and Shake Milton if he's still here, which he probably won't be. But we'll see how things go there. Somebody's going to get traded. I'm not sure when, but it's a pretty good possibility. It's like Kyle Anderson would be a big loss in the locker room and defensively, but offensively he'd be addition by subtraction potentially. So it's kind of a catch-22 when it comes to Kyle Anderson and going into the trade deadline, which is very close, of course. Anthony Edwards had an amazing week. He was amazing versus the Spurs. 6 of 8 from downtown, 12 of 18 from the floor, a lot of dunks, 6 rebounds, 12 assists. But 4 turnovers, that certainly didn't help, and the sloppiness of the Timberwolves down the stretch helped the Spurs catch up to the Wolves and win the game at the end of the day. So in a little bit, you know, obviously Anthony Edwards' turnovers certainly didn't help the Wolves down the stretch. Naz Reid did add 3 blocks as well in the game, which is insanely impressive, so really appreciate that. McDaniels added 4 steals, so those are some nice little nuggets in the game. It's not like the Wolves shot poorly, that's for sure. 57% and then 58%, 53, almost 54% from three-point range. How do you not win the game other than not getting the rebound? It's like lack of possession at the end of the day. Possession. And not good defense down the stretch, but getting the rebounds, that's kind of the hustle points that really would cost the Wolves in this game. And the turnovers later and later into the game. Only 13, but the big ones came late, and the Spurs would make their comeback and all of that. So, freaking frustrating, of course. They got like Wemby 3 of 6 from outside. Devin Vassell, I already talked about that. That's half of the threes there. Doug McDermott, possible future Timberwolf. We'll see how things go. Plays no defense, but really good offensive player. So we'll see how we handle things. Can't imagine Kyle Anderson would be happy going from the Wolves to the Spurs, where in the past it would have been the polar opposite back in the day. I think a lot of you know that. So we'll move on from that game. An insanely frustrating loss. Again, the hustle points. The hustle points, I think, are really the big thing there. So just 40-ish hours later, 48 hours later approximately, similar part of the country, OKC, Oklahoma City, Tornado Alley. Hopefully you don't have to worry about tornadoes in January, but if the, with the weather the way it's been around here, even you never know. I remember having tornadoes in December because there was a random 60-degree day. It was really weird. It was 60 and humid, like there was fog every, you know, yeah, it was like a humid kind of a warm in December one time, and then there were tornadoes all over the state. It was weird, or at least a couple, because it just was, you know, different, and it was kind of thunderstormy as well to go along with that. Thunderstormy, I hope that's a word. Anthony Edwards, again, another amazing game, got insanely frustrated because of the calls on him and the calls not on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and every foul call that Shai could ever ask for was given. 15 of 16 from the free throw line, 16 free throw attempts. He pretty much has to maybe move an inch, and somebody moves an inch within him or something. Oh, that's a foul. That's a foul. Shea to the line, two free throws. It's a foul. It's a foul. Sit down, go away. Anthony Edwards, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, so obviously he's insanely frustrated. He was held, clearly held on a dunk, and he was pleading his case. He was going crazy. Obviously, the constant incessant complaining is not going to help, and that's too bad. You hope he can kind of overcome that a bit. Eventually, you've got to believe in this league the calls are going to come, especially a guy like Anthony Edwards with the physical strength he has and the ability to play through, to drive through traffic and make plays, whether dunking on people or passing the ball or whatever the heck it is. The calls have to come sooner or later, and if they don't, then something's wrong with this league. Shea, you don't see him screaming and yelling every couple seconds and motioning to the ref, like slapping his hands or slapping his wrist or grabbing his arm, whatever, saying, foul, foul, you know. So stuff like that, obviously, isn't going to help anybody's cause. It's what's plagued Carl Anthony Towns forever. Was he fouled versus Charlotte earlier, a few games ago? Of course. Of course he was. It was like the biggest foul ever, and they didn't call it because, well, it's kind of their way of like saying, enough. You know, enough. Stop complaining every 10 seconds. Yeah, every damn time you drive to the basket, there has to be a complaint. You know, the hands going up in the air and all that. So that's what's basically caused that, unfortunately. And it's rubbed off on Anthony Edwards. You could argue he's even worse lately. But he did have a case with against the OKC Thunder and Shea and all them, who clearly held the guy's arm as he was flying to the basket. Like, how is that not a foul? With that said, 10 of 20 from Anthony Edwards, 3 of 5 from outside. Again, a great game. Was clutch when you needed him to be. Step back threes and driving to the basket and all of that, and not getting calls, of course. Surprise, surprise. Rudy Gobert cleaning up some junk as well in the game. And he made, you know, with offensive rebounds, he wound up with 18 points in the game. And the rebounding definitely helps in a huge way. That's what we needed versus San Antonio. Like one or two more rebounds in that game, the Wolves probably win. But it was lack of possession. Literally, lack of ball. It was ball possession against the Spurs, as far as I'm concerned, just like puck possession in the NHL or whatever. In football, it helps as well sometimes. But if your offense is so fast, it doesn't matter. Like the 98 Vikings possession, ball possession was insanely low because they were just up and down the field with Randy Moss and such. So why am I getting into the 98 Vikings, the Timberwolves explosion? I don't know. I guess this is our 98 Timberwolves. Kind of. Hopefully it's going to end a lot happier than the 98 Vikings season did. Please, Lord. Jaden McDaniels, you know, good defensively. 6 of 11 from the floor. Again, Anthony Edwards with... the amazing putback was against the Spurs. That was one of the plays of the year from Anthony Edwards. Jaden McDaniels had a 3 bounce just the right way. Anthony Edwards timed it perfectly and made a spectacular dunk, kind of Garnett-like, you could say, in a lot of ways. I remember Garnett had a huge putback the night that the Wolves honored Malik Sealy. It was looked on as one of the most historic dunks in Timberwolves history. And for as luck has it, I was there for that game, of course. I was a season ticket holder at the time. So it was nice to be able to witness that kind of thing. It really was. Malik Sealy, yeah, that memory got triggered this week. It was on one of those NBA... there's like a book, like 100 billion NBA Facebook pages. I forget what it's called. It wasn't NBA Buzz or anything. It was some a different one, and they showed Malik Sealy as a Los Angeles Clipper wearing number 21. And apparently Garnett admired Sealy so much, that's why he wears number 21. Obviously, before he'd even met the guy, which is amazing. And when he did, they got along perfectly, like the similar interests and such. So how cool was that? So, yeah, Malik Sealy, obviously a huge honor. I was able to meet him before he'd played his first game with the Timberwolves. Like, not really meet him, but shake his hand. So, yes, I'm kind of going off into down a rabbit hole here, but it's Malik Sealy, for crying out loud. Still the only Timberwolves number to be retired, actually. Yep. I still remember he came. It was a public scrimmage because the lockout had just ended. It's like... yes, we can do this. We can have an open scrimmage at the Target Center. You know, William Avery's there for the first time, didn't acknowledge anybody because he's got no personality at all. At least he didn't back then. He's probably different now. He was a big nothing, and he scored no points in the game either, so that kind of figures. As for, That night, though, I kept watching Malik Sealy. Didn't know anything about him before the game other than he played for the Pistons recently. And he was rumored in a Theo Ratliff to the Timberwolves trade at the time. I forget who we would have given up. It was a year before when the Wolves were going to play the Seattle Supersonics, of course, in the first round of the playoffs in an epic series. But, sorry, I'm really going down a rabbit hole here. So that's why I had first heard the name Malik Sealy. And then all of a sudden, oh, he's coming as a free agent. Okay, cool. So, the interest continued. Probably Garnett talking about it, but I'm sure, obviously, just the Wolves in general. And then it's like, I just fell in love. Like, I was like, oh, my God. This guy's insanely good. How is he so under the radar? Like, he didn't even play all that much with Detroit. And how come nobody ever talks about this guy? Obviously already a veteran player. He was like 28, 29 years old by the time. Very, very tall, lanky guy, of course. Kind of like, in a lot of ways, Jaden McDaniels, but way smoother than Jaden McDaniels. Way smoother. Way, 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 way. And it's like you watch him play, and it's like this: the one word that comes to your mind is silk. Silky, silky smooth, silky sealy. And then it turns out that was his nickname the whole time. For the same reason. So it was pretty cool. But no, I remember putting my hand out to shake his hand, you know, as they're walking by to go into the, you know, under the tunnel. And he grabbed my hand and holy cow, this skinny guy had the strongest hand ever. I was like, wow. And then he said, what's up, man? Like deep voice and tall as a son of a gun. It's like, how cool is that? So yeah, I'm sorry for going down the rabbit hole, but I thought maybe you'd be interested in that a little bit. I think the most similar player on the Wolves right now is either Nickeil Alexander-Walker or Jaden McDaniels. So you could kind of go either way. That's how good those two guys are. Their defense is so good. I'd talk about Malik Sealy because he was an incredibly good defender, being so long and all that good stuff and being able to use his leg, not just being long and clumsy like some people who have no mobility. Sorry, I really went down a rabbit hole there, but I couldn't help it. It was just something triggered the memory this week, so Sorry, I figured I'd share that with you. Again, I brought it up before in the past. Karl-Anthony Towns, didn't shoot well. Didn't have a particularly good game. Didn't get into foul trouble, but Jaden McDaniels did. Anthony Edwards had four fouls and all that. So obviously the frustration was there, but the defense was freaking awesome in the fourth quarter and a huge difference maker. They shut the Sons of Guns down. The Wolves won by 10 points in the fourth quarter, kept the Oklahoma City Thunder to 24. It wasn't their lowest scoring quarter, and the second quarter was, but the Wolves made the stops when they needed to and kept one of the best offenses in the league down to only 101 points. So, huge, massive, massive win for the Minnesota Timberwolves in OKC. Just like last week's title of the episode, the Wolves need revenge in OKC, the Wolves got revenge in OKC. Cowabunga, dude. That's all I got to say about that. Cowabunga. The Dallas Mavericks. Well, the Dallas Midgets. I don't know. That's kind of what they were in this game. I don't know. What's a different nickname? I don't know. I remember when you see Jay Green, you think of Jeff Green, but it wasn't Jeff Green. It's Josh Green, who was okay. Tim Hardaway Jr. didn't have 30 points this time. Raquan Holmes healthy, thank God for his sake. A double-double machine when he gets to play. I like Rashawn Holmes, not Raquan. Rashawn Holmes, I like him. I loved him with Sacramento and wouldn't have minded him on the Wolves. But now with Rudy Gobert, it's, you know, it is what it is. We don't need to necessarily chase Rashawn Holmes. Jaden Hardy. You don't hear about him a whole lot, unfortunately. Dwight Powell, only 1 point in the game. Seth Curry with 9 points. Kleiber with three. I don't even know why I'm bringing all these names up necessarily, but it's just, wasn't nearly as close of a game as it could have been. I mean, early on, it was a close game and it was annoying. The Wolves were sloppy and kind of screwing around. Like even right now, the replay's on right now on Bally's. Wolves only lead by 1 point and it's almost halftime. It's like only 45 points to 44. Wolves offense sputtering again, just kind of sloppy, goofing around. But luckily in the second half, things would just explode. The Wolves would finally pull away. And you could get finally into garbage time, which was nice. So 38-17 fourth quarter, as well as would head into garbage time and give guys a break, which was absolutely needed down the stretch where you got to see, you know, Troy Brown for 6 minutes and Luka Garza for 5:23 and Wendell Moore Jr. making an appearance. Yes, sir. 5:23. So you could finally kind of give guys a break. You don't want to overuse Mike Conley, who made his return. Hallelujah. Anthony Edwards only 9 points in the game. Because, again, like not as much pressure on him in this one, obviously. Only 5 field goal attempts in the game. Only 1 foul as well. So it's not like he got in foul trouble. Just, I don't know. Carl was hot in the game. And it's like, take advantage of that. And so was Jaden McDaniels from the floor, not from three-point range. He was 0-for-4 from outside. Naz Reid had some moments, including 3 three-pointers for 12 total points. But Carl was obviously the offensive juggernaut in the game. You could say 11 of 15 for 29 points, 4 of 6 from outside. The all-star, once again, all-star Carl Anthony Towns. So good for him. I believe it's his 3rd or 4th appearance now. So good for him. Anthony Edwards is 2nd for sure. And Carl Anthony Towns, you know, well-deserved. Obviously 60-some points, but, you know, I don't even want to think about that anymore. Don't even want to think about that. Hey, dude, we lost to Charlotte and San Antonio within like a week or so. Like, what's up with that? Luckily, the Wolves look like that kind of woke them up. Like, stop screwing around. Stop. Good teams have bad stretches. The Denver Nuggets only won 53 games last year, if I remember correctly. That's not good. That's nothing spectacular for like a NBA championship caliber team. It was one of the weakest Western Conference, top seeds in NBA history. In fact, probably was. And they went on and won the title anyway. So hopefully the Wolves can do something like that as well with 58, 59, 60 wins, 57 wins, whatever. I may have said that the win total out of that group, 57 to 60, I wouldn't be surprised. 56, I think, is a minimum, I would hope. Like dead minimum and still get the number one seed or number two. And yes, pray to God for home court all the way and Hope for a very wonderful June, hopefully. Like the most happy June we've ever had. Because we've never won a Stanley Cup or an NBA title, unless you count the Minneapolis Lakers. But that must have been in May, because that was so long ago. So that couldn't have been in June back then. So long ago. There weren't that many teams, and you know, it's 70 years ago now. So talk about ancient history right there, eh? But no, a comfortable win. Not a whole lot to write home about, other than, again, it's nice to see Mike Conley playing, and he was 4 of 6 from outside, played 25 minutes. No reason to overuse the guy. He was a plus 25 because he's the best, right? And when he's out there, the offense is flowing nicely, and a nice win for the Timberwolves nonetheless. The Lone Wolf Award winner for this episode is Anthony Edwards. A great week. Obviously got insanely frustrated and pissed off at the refs, and for good reason, but at the same time, be careful. Obviously, you know, you understand why, and you hope and pray that things can be more fair when it comes to fouls and non-fouls and this and that for the Timberwolves as things go in a different direction here, or hopefully go in a different direction when it comes to, you know, more of a fair shake when it comes to the Timberwolves. Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns, obviously they have to stop with the noise, but at the same time, you know, same time, hopefully a little bit of fairness from the refs as well. But I guess welcome to pro sports. Like in baseball, star players sometimes have a much smaller strike zone, that kind of thing. So pitchers have to like be perfect, basically. Otherwise, you know, it is what it is. It's a huge advantage for some of those guys. That's why they win batting titles sometimes. So with all of that said, again, the Lone Wolf Award is Anthony Edwards with a bullet. The Johnny Flynn Memorial, I guess it's Jake Milton. He didn't have a particularly good week. It could be Kyle Anderson, though he made both of his shots, I guess, versus the Dallas Mavericks. But, yeah, you know, that's kind of like a preseason game. No, really, yeah. I mean, I guess it's Jake Milton. I don't really want to pick on him too much, but it's kind of like a gentle one. Obviously, that stupid quarter. In a lot of ways, it's Chris Finch for that, you know, that 6 minutes-plus stretch that helped cost the Wolves the game against the San Antonio Spurs. So, obviously, I'm not hating on Chris Finch. It was just a mistake. And he has to be accountable for it. So I guess Chris Finch will get the Johnny Flynn Memorial for this episode, even though I don't usually give it to coaches or whatever. And the refs, damn it, for the OKC game. But the Wolves still won, see? Way to overcome that. With that said, we'll take a quick break and come back and preview 4 games in segment number 2. And we are back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number two, time to preview the four games coming up as we are officially in the month of February. Happy February. Earlier sunrises, later sunsets. Yes, the earliest signs of spring as things are moving rapidly now as we head into the month of February. Obviously, the sunlight increases more rapidly in the morning and in the evening as well. The Orlando Magic and an opportunity for the Timberwolves to clinch, at least for Chris Finch to clinch, the number one seed going into the All-Star break, I suppose, and all of that. So I guess he wins here, and ultimately he will be the All-Star coach. I guess that's the cutoff. Houston Rockets, again, an improved Houston Rockets team. Both of these games will be in the Target Center. Friday the 2nd, Pro Bowl Day, Sunday the 4th. Super Bowl will be the 11th, and go 49ers. I am not rooting for the Chiefs. They're the Golden State Warriors of football. Arrogant, douchebaggish, and other things that I just don't even want to get into right now. That's for a different podcast. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then Midwestern Classics, Chicago, and at Milwaukee, Tuesday and Thursday, respectively, leading into next week's show. The actual All-Star break takes place around the 17th, the weekend of the 17th, 18th. So, but this is when who the head coach is going to be, so they're ready to make their plans and such. The Orlando Magic, well, let's see. The Wolves should be able to win this game. They have really dropped down, and I'm not surprised. They're the Toronto Blue Jays of basketball when it comes to... And I like the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't like the Magic, but I like the Toronto Blue Jays. How they'd start off really strong, like, wow, they're good this year. And then it's like, oh, they're 500 or whatever. Or in Orlando's case, they could be worse. Slightly above 500 so far. Gary Harris, for the 950th time, is on the injury report. And I'm not kidding on that number. Calf, and yeah, kind of. Not really by much. Calf as of Jan the 3rd, so whatever, right? And then, of course, Jalen Clark still on the injury report, rehabbing from the Achilles. Not sure what he's been doing really late. It'd be nice to have an update about Jalen Clark one of these days. Potential defensive stud coming out of UCLA, of course. The Orlando Magic, 25th in scoring. The Wolves are 21st. Rebounding, the Magic are 19th. The Wolves are 12th. Field goal percentage, Orlando is 20th. The Wolves are 7th. Three-point percentage, Orlando was dead last in the league. So they'll probably make 19 three-pointers. No. The Wolves are second somehow, thanks to Carl, I suppose. Wolves won comfortably in Orlando, 113-92. And that may have been a turning point for the Orlando Magic. Like, you're not for real. Go sit down, son. That kind of thing. Maybe it'll be a first-round exit type of team. 27th in assists to the Wolves, 16th. Turnovers, the... Yeah, see, it's like there's always a certain stat that our team is bad at. Like, say, in hockey, the Wild suck at penalties and penalty kill. With the Timberwolves, turnovers, 27th, meaning, like, the really high. Like, the we really suck at it. Orlando's 22nd. Assist-to-turnover ratio, somehow those numbers have been swapped. I don't understand, but I guess they get, less assists. That's part of it. Yeah, they definitely do. They're 27th in the league. So, blocked shots, the Wolves are 9th now. So, it seems like we've dropped there. Orlando is 16th. Steals per game. Orlando is number 2 in the league. That's their best stat. And the Wolves are 14th. And again, Wolves' chance to sweep the season series. Orlando was 2-3 in their last 5. They did win their most recent game against the Spurs. So, well, they've got us beat there, I guess, for now. Magic got crushed by Cleveland, 126-99. Wow. Lost to Memphis. Yeah, Memphis is still tough, even without Ja. They've been better ever since Ja came back for that short stretch. They've been better, basically, since then. They stayed kind of better. They beat Phoenix somehow, did Orlando, because Phoenix is struggling, 113-98. Dallas, 131-29, loss. But you never know who's freaking playing with those freaking Mavericks. They're always out for whatever reason. I clicked too fast here. Whoa. What? Where's Orlando? Well, that's some complete bullcrap. So I guess I'm going to have to fix some of this now. So my apologies here. Again, Orlando's only 25-23. Yeah, that's great. 25-23. Paolo Banchero, 23 points a game, also 7 rebounds and 5 assists. He's leading in every single statistic. Good for him, I suppose. Franz Wagner with 20 points a game, 4 assists and 4 rebounds. So he's like number 2 in all those stats. They don't rebound at all. Wendell Carter Jr., the big guy from Duke, only 6 rebounds. I guess it's kind of like all over team effort, but it's still, the rebounding numbers aren't so great necessarily. But yeah, never mind. It is a good team effort type of thing when it comes to the Orlando Magic. They're 19th in the league. Joe Ingles from Ulster, 34 games. Not a good season really so far, unfortunately, for Joe. 38% from outside, though still a three-point threat at the very least. Jalen Suggs, I can't say he's been living up to the hype just yet, but I'll give him a chance, I guess. Cole Anthony's all over the place. He can be red hot, and he can suck that kind of thing. He can get cold. He's one of those kind of guys. He's like a left fielder in baseball. One week he's going to go out there, bat 450 and hit five home runs and get like, 15 RBI. And the next week he'll be like 1 of 21 with a, and it's just a harmless single. Like, what the heck, man? So that's kind of how it is. Like a left fielder, corner outfielder, those kind of guys that are inconsistent. That type of thing. Markelle Fultz, former number one pick, 15 games on the season with about 9 points and 3.5 assists. Pretty good rebounder, though, for the limited time for Markelle Fultz. It's sad, one of those kind of stories there. But he's been with the Magic for quite a while, believe it or not, ever since moving on from the, being traded from the Sixers when they decided this didn't work out, basically. So it's just one of those kind of things. Moritz Wagner, you do have the Wagner brothers. Moritz from Michigan, of course, 11.5. Michigan and obviously Germany. 11.5 points and 5.5 rebounds. Sorry, I'm kind of babbling a little bit about that. But I do think the Wolves should be able to take care of this Orlando team. Jonathan Isaac, that's another guy I've been a fan of. Yep, his minutes have been increasing a little bit, so that's good. He's moved up a tiny bit here now, 30 games, 6.5 points, 4 rebounds, and a block and a half almost. So, yep, still would love to have Jonathan Isaac on the Wolves. If you can buy low, that'd be nice. I wouldn't mind having a guy like that on the Timberwolves, but I'm not sure if that's where we're heading. How about Kyle Anderson for Jonathan Isaac? But then again, no, 28% from outside, but that's not what he's all about. He's more of a defensive player, kind of like Kyle Anderson, I suppose, but I doubt that they would make that move. I doubt that Orlando would make that move, and maybe the Wolves wouldn't either. Who knows? I mean, I'd like to have Jonathan Isaac. I talk about him all the time, right? But the Wolves need to win and should win this game. Orlando's basically right where they probably should be, eighth place in the Eastern Conference. Like, they'll probably make the postseason and all that, but, they probably won't get past, like, Boston or anybody like that. And who knows if they survive the play-in. You never know when you're in that. Funny stuff happens. So you could be the best team going in that and be fishing in a week. You could be fishing, as they say on TNT. Not that I know much about that lately, but I'm just teasing you. Miami's in first place with Orlando. They're actually both in first place, despite the mediocre record. Easily the weakest division in basketball. The Hornets, though, how can I talk bad about them? The Wolves lost to the Hornets. Atlanta, we lost to them. So let's not lose to Orlando. So let's get past the Orlando Magic. Wolves win by 10 points over the Orlando Magic. Final score of 110 to 100. The Wolves will beat this club. Karl Anthony Towns, 28 points. The Wolves will win in this one. That's my minor prediction there. Of course, I messed everything up, so I'm going to kind of have to build on the fly. Good thing I know who we're playing next. That's the Houston Sprockets. Spacely Sprockets team. No, I'm just kidding. Basically, though, I always had fun with that one. They are dropping and dropping and dropping, unfortunately for them. Now they're below 500, them being the Houston Sprockets. 22-25 on the season. Again, hopefully the Wolves can take care of business against this club. Oh, that doesn't help. Illness for Sengun right now, so he's their best player, basically, other than Fred Van Vliet. I do believe Steven Adams was traded, wasn't he? Knee injury as of October the 22nd. Yep, so interesting. Yeah, I'm going to screw myself up some more, but what the heck. Yeah, he's been out forever with a knee injury, obviously from New Zealand. Gotta love that for sure. Yeah, he was formerly with OKC, then with Memphis, and I guess he was traded to, I don't know. Yep, he was traded recently anyway, so from what I know. it's one of those kind of like under-the-radar type of trades that you don't hear about as often, so my deep apologies there. Okay, got it. So it's Steven Adams for Victor Oladipo. So it's one injured guy for an injury-prone guy, that type of thing. So Victor Oladipo is now going to the Memphis Grizzlies. So that's where Steven Adams was. That's why all of a sudden Steven Adams is on the Houston Rockets. It wasn't an off-season move. This was the move. So that's what I thought. I just wanted to make absolute sure. Victor Oladipo's on his 25th team. So he's been everywhere but Minnesota, pretty much. I'm slightly exaggerating when I say 25th. But unfortunately, Adams has been out with a knee injury all season, so why is this up? Ugh, nasty. that couple that I'm sick of hearing about. I think most of you are as well. And if you're not, I don't understand.
I really don't. So he's been out forever, but yeah, welcome to the NBA. PCL sprain in his right knee as of January 22nd, 2023. What the heck? Long-term knee problems. Jeez, what's up? Well, that's too bad. I like Steven Adams, but yeah, Victor Oladipo has definitely had an up-and-down career with injuries and such. Here I go down 19 more rabbit holes. Houston's tied with the Wolves in points at 21st. 5th in rebounding. 24th in field goal percentage. 3-point percentage is 27th. 9th in turnovers. 10th in assist to turnover ratio. So they take care of the ball, but Fred VanVleet, that's all you need to know there. 24th in blocks. 16th in steals. The Wolves pounded Houston at a time when the Wolves were struggling a little bit and needed to kind of like, oh, okay, we need to take care of business here. Let's not lose in Houston. And again, that was probably a turning point for that club. Just like when the Wolves beat the Orlando Magic pretty soundly, it was a turning point for that club. Those teams did tip off in the 95 finals way back in the day. Shaq versus a young Shaq versus a veteran, Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler and all those cool players from back in the day. Slam-a-jamma and all that. 122-95, comfortable, very comfortable win for the Timberwolves in that case. Just pounded them. 23-point victory. No, 27-point victory. I was like, where's my math? 2-for-3, they are kind of win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. That's Houston right now. Losing to Portland, beating Charlotte by a billion points. Wow. Losing to Portland, though. Yeah, Portland's been good, though. Didn't they beat the Bucks the other night? That was fun. I'll probably talk about that in Fantasy Direction a tiny bit. They lost to the Nets by 2, beat the Lakers by a lot there, 135-119, okay. Some Rudy Tomjanovich revenge there. Like, screw you, Lakers. You know, I'm just kidding. 110-99, lost to the Lemon and the Tomato Juice Club, which I have my lemon and tomato juice right here. Nothing like it, especially with some celery salt mixed in. New Orleans Pelicans, of course, beat the Rockets by 11. Two more games in the season series. Obviously, the Orlando series is wrapping up right now. So, Sunday, February the 4th, and that's what this one is, at 6 p.m. Pro Bowl game. No, Pro Bowl day, basically, and hockey all-star game and all that. Tuesday, April the 2nd, honoring Chloe the Cat's, honoring Chloe the Cat that day. We'll just leave that where that is. Both in Target Center. Three-game series, because it's non-division, obviously. So, this should be a win also. I mean, this should be a win. Just keep taking care of business. This is not a very good team, obviously. You know, oft-injured players. They're kind of all over the place. I don't know. I mean, who's going to play? Who isn't going to play? Sengun is definitely good. Obviously, you know, almost 22 points, 9 rebounds plus. Nobody there blocks a full block a game. Yes, Fred VanVleet is their leading shot-blocking guy, other than Tari Eason, both averaging 0.9 blocks a game. Fred VanVleet, your point guard. Dylan Brooks, 38 games, the former, Memphis Grizzly that drove us crazy, kind of a goon. That's probably a better word to use. Kind of a goon out there, about 14 points a game. Fred VanVleet's averaging 8.5 assists. You know, he's one of the reasons why this team is better, plain and simple. Jamari Smith, taking a little while to develop. Obviously an athletic type of guy who could be something. Maybe like a Josh Smith, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see what he ends up becoming. 13.5 points, 8.5 rebounds, that's good. And almost a block a game. Jamari Smith Jr., definitely some hope still, as he was once looked on as a top type of guy in the draft. He slipped a little bit in that draft, but not that much. Jeff Green, there he is, playing on his 26th team. Pretty much 45 games, excuse me. Yeah, right. 6 points, only 2 rebounds. What's up with that? So he used to be a better player, but obviously he'd been kind of off injured and became definitely a, what do they call it? Yeah, Jeff Green was a really high draft pick for the Celtics, and then obviously that quick trade to the Supersonics/OKC Thunder for Ray Allen, in order for the Boston Celtics to become world champions about 9 months later. So the Wolves should be able to take care of business, bottom line, now that I've babbled my head off here. But don't anticipate to see Steven Adams anytime soon. I don't know what to say about that. It's unfortunate. It really is. And Eason also has a leg injury as of January 2nd, so he's been out for a while as well. hard to believe we're already a whole month into the year. It's like blink of an eye, isn't it? It really is. And the Wolves still rocking and rolling, beating the Mavericks pretty comfortably with a limited lineup, of course. The Wolves should be able to beat the Houston Rockets comfortably as well. And if they don't, shame on us. 15-point win, 125 to 110. Something along those likes. The Wolves might even win by 20. 125-105. Wolves win the game. Anthony Edwards with like 25-ish. And some rest for the veteran players as well. And the young players like Anthony Edwards. Rest for the starters, generally speaking. We'll see some Luka. We'll see some Troy Brown Jr. I like Brown, dang it. And I think he's a better player than the credit he gets. So I think that's a dang shame. I wish he'd play more. Chicago Bulls. Will Zach LaVine ever play again? I don't know. Seems like he's hurt all the time as well. We're playing one injured team after another because that's kind of how it is in the NBA, I guess. United Center, the arena that Michael Jordan and Jerry Krause built, but Michael Jordan especially. Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf and Jerry and Jerry and Jerry and Phil Jackson and not that guy that coaches the Golden State Warriors, but... Well, he did hit a pretty big shot in the 97 finals. Zach LaVine, ankle injury out since the 19th. Patrick Williams, foot injury as of the 27th of January. And Dalen Terry, ankle, January the 30th. That's your injury report with double 26th in points, especially with Zach out, right? 18th in rebounds, 22nd in field goal percentage, 22nd in three-point percentage. 28th in assists, 4th in turnovers, so they protect the ball really well. 10th in assist to turnover ratio, 17th in blocks, and 11th in steals. They're kind of all over the place, and another team that's 2-3 in their last 5. The Wolves could have an awesome week here, and people were talking about a lighter schedule. Obviously a 2-game series because it's the Eastern Conference. Tuesday, Feb the 6th, that's this one, and Sunday the 31st of March. So... the Wolves, people were talking about an easy schedule for the Wolves where we really might wind up with 60 wins or even more this year because of it. And obviously you want to be battle-tested, and, you know, that was great to have that OKC win and tie up that season series. And technically we have the tiebreaker because of our conference record. So that's awesome. That doesn't guarantee anything right now because the conference record could change. You know, like you lose to the Rockets or whatever. Well, they're the only Western Conference team we're playing right now. So don't lose to the Rockets. Games like that can screw you really good. Real good. Doubles. Let's look at doubles again. DeMar DeRozan. Really, yeah, he's been one to stay healthy. Never been much of a three-point threat at all. He only attempts about 3 threes a game, 33%. So, you know, that's just kind of how it is, where Zach would take a billion threes, but he's been out forever. Kobe White is still on doubles. 39% from outside. Yep, he's one of those spark plugs, and he's more than a spark plug of late. 19 points a game. He's finally become a pretty good player. He always was good, but, you know, he's gotten better over the years. There's some other players that have been around forever, and their minutes diminish every year. It seems like you almost forget about him, like Andre Drummond, 5 points. No, five. Yeah, is it 5 points? No, 8 points a game and about 8.5 rebounds. Andre Drummond, remember him with the Pistons and then eventually the Cavs and so on and so forth. You just get, you know, you almost forget about him, but it's like, oh yeah, I remember how good he was. So it's kind of sad, but I don't know if it's because the NBA keeps evolving this way and that way, and I don't know if guys that can shoot threes and guys that can do this and guys that can do that. So there's always that. Ellis Caruso is a popular player, almost 41% from outside. That's great. Again, a very winnable game, but, you know, it's a trap game. This one feels like a trap game to me, even without Zach LaVine. Vucevic used to torture the Wolves with Orlando. Not so much with the Bulls, but the Bulls are a funky team, but usually when Zach LaVine is healthy, like he'll come back and get 35 or 40 on us, hitting clutch threes and such down the stretch and frustrating the living bleep out of us. Well, you know, Timberwolves fans that always worship players that are, you know, that were traded away or left or whatever, like Zach LaVine, will all be like, see, you know, and it's like, okay, well, he hasn't been here forever, so it kind of is what it is, you know? I mean, it's not killing me anymore. Who would you rather have, Anthony Edwards or Zach LaVine? Put that into perspective. That's all you need to do. Who would you rather have? I'd rather have Anthony Edwards. I would. I would rather have Anthony Edwards. So I feel okay. I've recovered from that wound. That wound has healed, In fact, the muscle or whatever was injured is stronger than it was before because we have Anthony Edwards. So I feel okay. The Bulls are just kind of like a middling team that's very beatable. They beat Charlotte. They lost to Toronto. They beat Portland. Lost to LA 141-132. And lost to the Phoenix Suns 115-113. I mean, every one of these matchups, like the Bulls against Charlotte, classic, Toronto, well, except for that one, but Portland, NBA Finals, Lakers, NBA Finals, Suns, NBA Finals, you know, isn't that cool? So that's the good old days right there. That's like the and that's the original three-peat. I mean, all that history with the Bulls. It just kind of puts a smile on my face just thinking about that, you know, back that's the early three-peat when basketball was really classic. Dominique Wilkins was in his prime still. You know, Bird was still playing until, well, 91, 92 anyway. McHale was still, oh, man, those are the good old days. Those really, truly were the good old days. And music was actually decent still. That's a long time ago. This should be another win for the Wolves. It should. They're ninth place in the Eastern Conference. They're right there with Orlando, 23-26. It should be a win, especially without Zach LaVine. Just golden opportunity for the Wolves to really rack up some wins and hopefully build some type of ground between us and OKC and Denver and teams like that that are still threatening, because they're going to be threatening all year. That's like a given. So golden opportunity for the Wolves to build something here. Man, Cleveland, I don't really, yeah, sometimes you don't realize how good the Cleveland Cavaliers are this year. 30-16. They're only one game behind the Bucks. That's our next opponent after the Bulls. The Wolves will win against the Chicago Bulls. I mean, why not? Obviously, there's always the possibility that you have a stinker. You know, you don't shoot well. You don't hustle. You're getting 90, you know, like getting like, you know, 8 turnovers in the fourth quarter or something stupid like that. But you hope not. You hope you don't have a stinker. You just go out, play, win a bunch of games in a row and enjoy. You know, win, get at least a five wins in a row versus the Bulls here after starting with OKC. In the 5-game win streak. And, yeah, take care of them. Take care of the Chicago Bulls. The Wolves will beat the Bulls with the final score along the likes of, I'm going to say, this one might not be the highest scoring game. You know, like 108-95. The Wolves will win the game. Anthony Edwards with 35. Well, Anthony Edwards with 35. Next opponent will be the Milwaukee Bucks. That could definitely be a problem. Yeah, they did something weird last week. They fired, was it Adrian Griffin? And the Bucks had the same record as the Minnesota Timberwolves. What do you think of that? So it's like Chris Finch after the Spurs game. Oh, fire Chris Finch. We got to go in a different direction. And then you hire some, like, you know, older guy who's you know, established, obviously, in Doc Rivers' case. He won a championship with the Celtics. But really, ever since 2012-ish, what has Doc Rivers done other than make a lot of noise? You know, complaining at refs and getting political and all that. Has he really done anything since then? I'd like to know. Like, I don't think he's done jack bleep. The Clippers, obviously the Celtics there for a while, then the Clippers, yuck. The Sixers, what did he do with the Sixers? You know, they choked a lot. Not that that was all his fault, but they still choked under his watch. So, you know, sometimes it's on the players as well. I think Adrian Griffin definitely got a, I think he got a short shrift or whatever the heck the word is. He got the short straw, whatever the word is. Celtics are the best team in the East still by quite a ways. Philadelphia, New York is ahead of Philadelphia. Wow, how about them Knicks? When the Knicks play well, I think it's good for basketball. I've said that before, and I'm going to keep saying it. When the Knicks are good, basketball is in good shape. I have no problem with the New York Knicks being good. Like back in the day, it's like, oh, you know, maybe if you're a big Bulls fan or something, you hated the Knicks and all that. But it's like all these years later, it's like, you know, every time the Knicks are good, whether you like them or not, it's good for basketball that they're good, rather than they suck and they're at the bottom or they're below average every stinking year, you know. So it's nice to see them good. It's actually quite impressive. The Bucks, of course, first place by one game over the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are obviously a vastly improved team. They keep getting better. Let's get to the Bucks. Number one offense in the league and no injuries at all. So knock on wood for them. We all know. Yeah, anyhow. Number one in the league in offense. I suppose if Damian Lillard and Giannis, obviously, so it's very impressive. Number one in the league, 124 points, 10th in rebounds, 3rd in field goal percentage, 8th in threes, 3-point percentage anyway, 4th in assists, 12th in turnovers, 11th in blocks, and 25th in steals. This is a two-game series, Thursday, February the 8th, and Friday, February the 23rd. Not a back-to-back or anything, which they could do because it's close. The Bucks join the club, 2-3 in their last five. So, yay for Doc Rivers, right? Losing to the Denver Nuggets and the Portland Trailblazers the other night. Damian Lillard night in Portland. And the Bucks lose. The Bucks with Lillard lose to the Portland Trailblazers in Portland. Beautiful, beautiful court, by the way, in Portland. Huge props to you, Portland, with an awesome basketball court. And I was cheering for the Portland Trailblazers because many reasons. I didn't like what happened to Adrian Griffin. I am not a fan of Doc Rivers anymore. In fact, I stopped being a fan of his around 2013-ish or even before that. Got sick of his big mouth. Every damn second, complaining about something. You know, like call this, call that, whatever. And obviously, then he got political as well, like half of these clowns. So, I don't know. It's just enough of it. Just play basketball sometimes. I don't necessarily mean shut up and dribble or anything like that. But I don't know. I think Michael was more successful by not running his mouth all the time. I don't know. I just do. That's just the way I see that's the way I see things. It's okay to have opinions. And Michael did have opinions. You know, obviously different from mine. But but that's okay. At least he wasn't, you know, shoving it down people's throats every 10 seconds. Now I'm getting political when I don't need to. The Bucks. I'm probably ruining my whole show here. 34-14 Wolves, 32-16 Bucks. The Wolves are two games ahead of the Milwaukee Bucks. That's pretty good, you know, and it makes me feel good. And the Wolves beat the Bucks as well, who are struggling. I don't know. This reeks of a tough one. This really does. And it's in whatever the heck they call that, Fiserv Forum. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly. Fiserv. I don't think it's Pfizer. It doesn't look like the same word. So, no, it's not. Pfizer, that would figure. Travis Kelce Arena, right? Okay, just kidding. Giannis is one of the leading scorers in all of basketball. Giannis. 31 points. I used to say it right. Now I can't say it right anymore because I suck. Damian Lillard's averaging only 6.8 assists, but oh well. He is more of an offensive player, 25.1. So, again, no huge surprise that it's the number one offense in basketball. Them and the OKC Thunder are way at the top. This has that OKC Thunder type of vibe. The Wolves and Bucks, the Bucks have beaten the Wolves like 100,000 times over the years. Malik Beasley, former Timberwolves, is on the Bucks, and he's averaging almost 45% from outside as he has a limited role for the most part. Well, he actually is playing a lot, 30 minutes a game. With that team? All right, that's interesting. Bobby Portis, obviously one of the most popular guys in Milwaukee. He could probably run for mayor. No sarcasm there. Chris Middleton, obviously the Pippen type at one point, but, you know, yeah, kind of a Pippen type. He's a good defender and such. Brook Lopez, still there. Got his ring and all that cool stuff. Love what he's done with the Bucks over the years, and obviously the Nets and all that, but yeah, 3 blocks a game. And you got to love that name, Ty Washington Jr. Remember him in the draft? Only 2 games so far this year. And Robin Lopez, only 13. So Robin Lopez, who'd been off injured in the past. And Theon Thanasis. Oh, that's a cool name. That would be Giannis' brother. Thanasis. The warrior Thanasis. Thanasis the Great from Greece. That is so cool. Why am I seeing Jared Vanderbilt? I guess it's recent. Yeah, he had a foot injury as of last night. Dang it, Jared. Stay healthy, man. Yeah, guys hurt all the time. Ah, come on, Jared. I like Jared Vanderbilt. I missed him, actually. But at the end of the day, I think this might be the end of the win streak. Obviously, not because I think the Bucks are so great and they're better than us, because they're not better than the Timberwolves. They're not. But I think this is one of those series that's probably going to be a split. If the Wolves go into Milwaukee and win, I mean, what a win. That'll be another one of the list of signature victories for the Timberwolves this season. It'd be awesome. I'd be absolutely thrilled at the end of the day. Uh-oh. Someone's pissed off a little bit. Sorry. Sorry, something in the background. But no, I do believe that the Wolves will not beat the Bucks, unfortunately. I think it's going to be a close back-and-forth game. Might go to OT. something along the likes of 125, 122, a thriller type, 128, 125. You might see somebody like Anthony Edwards get 40 points in the game. Maybe Karl-Anthony Towns gets 40 in the game. But I think one of the two does. I'll go with Anthony Edwards in the game. I think a nice back and forth with him and Lillard, and you might get to see Lillard pointing at his wrist like, go away. I know. Good for him, though. I've seen worse celebrations than that. So I respect the Bucks. Obviously, I've mentioned 100 times I'm not a big Doc Rivers fan. Maybe it'll help with the defensive focus and such. Obviously, that's one of the reasons why the Celtics won the championship and why his teams have been competitive dating all the way back to the Orlando Magic way, 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 way back in the day. I still remember I was eye-to-eye with Doc Rivers when he was coach of the Orlando Magic at the North Star Center in downtown Minneapolis, just walking through the halls, because back then I worked at U.S. Bank way back in the day when the Orlando Magic were in town. I saw this guy that looked like an Orlando Magic hat, big, big eyes, looking right at me as we're walking kind of right at each other. And I'm like, that's Doc Rivers, huh? The Magic are in town, aren't they? That's Doc Rivers. Wow. Looked me right in the eye. It was pretty cool. Obviously, he was a much younger coach at the time. And, back then I liked Doc Rivers a lot. He just kind of wore on me over the years, the complaining and such, more so than the politics, actually, the complaining with the refs. It got old. Like, just stop. Jeez. So, stuff like that. Like, Steve Kerr's whininess, too. Yeah. He's always whining, and it's annoying. And I think fans hate that at the end of the day. Wow, this was a really long second segment. Usually I don't go this long, so I'll take a quick break and get to fan interaction now. We are back here on Timberwolves Explosion. This should be a very short segment, unfortunately, because usually it is nowadays. Got to interact some more. At TWolvesEX is the Twitter account. I want to thank Vince Germano from Australia and Levi Brown out of New Zealand for retweeting the most recent episode. That was 384. What was it called? It was like Wolves Need Revenge on OKC. Well, the Wolves got revenge on OKC. It'll probably be something along those lines. Levi Brown says, that was on February the 1st. This must have been the Mavericks. Nope, this was the Thunder. I said arguably the biggest win of the year tonight. Revenge is sweet. Levi Brown says, was the first game I was able to watch that the Wolves won. Funny how all the other games I've caught have been losses despite the great record. Yeah, isn't that crazy? So, yep, and this was the biggest one of the year. So, Levi, that must have felt awesome. At the end of the day, he actually is wearing an OKC Thunder jersey at the time there. But that was, I think that might be a second favorite team, actually. Just like we all have our second favorite team. Like, in my case, it's pretty much the Boston Celtics, as you could probably tell. I was pretty emotional when the Celtics lost to the Warriors. You can only imagine, like, say, the 49ers in the NFL. They're my second favorite NFC team. If they lose to the Chiefs, I'm going to be freaking pissed, so. With that, it looks like that's it, unfortunately. That's the Twitter account, Facebook, it's called Instagram, Timberwolves_explosion. We'll see if there's a comment there. I think there's been ones in the past. Yeah, there have been a few, but it's been quiet, unfortunately. The busy schedules and stuff certainly don't help, or just bad timing. Not even busy schedules, just bad timing. I'd like to actually see the last week's episode. Nope, just likes, but I appreciate the likes, though. Really appreciate that. Luckily, we have, there's Levi there. Yep, Levi and some others as well. So, really cool. Always great to hear from you guys. Comment some more if you can. I understand, obviously, busy schedules probably getting in the way, and I can relate as well. So, that's how things go. And especially on the other side of the world, like, say, when the Wolves are playing, they're probably right in the middle of their workday. So, it's like, that's how it goes. So, they have to catch up. And a lot of times I have to catch up as well, unfortunately, because of second shift. With that said, please do help this show with algorithms if you could. The 5-star ratings on Apple Podcast /iTunes, Spotify, and others. And those of you that have, God bless you and thank you so much. Really helps. Share the show, retweet, share, word of mouth with your friends. It's worth its weight in gold, if not platinum. Just thank you so much. God bless all of you, and hopefully the Wolves can have at least a 5-game win streak, if not maybe 6-game win streak, coming into next week's show.